You know, one of the great things of listening to WBGO, of supporting WBGO, is the fact that we have these little nuggets, these little special things that we do.
Yeah.
And you are in luck today, my friends, because with us in the studio, somehow we've convinced them to get up in the middle of the night and come down and spend some time with us. On the drums, Jerome Jennings, you will hear. On the bass, Yasushi Nakamura. And my special guest at the piano this morning to talk about his new recording and just about anything else that might pop up this morning. We want to welcome to WBGO pianist Christian Sands. Good morning, sir, and thank you for getting up. Or maybe for jazz guys, you just stay up all night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, we just stay up. We watch the sunrise and all that, and then we'll go to sleep maybe around 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and they'll be up tonight through Sunday at Jazz Standard in New York City. And then if you want to go see the festival thing, because that's what's cool about summer, jazz gets outdoors. And go check them out at the Newport Jazz Festival next Friday, August the 4th. Start for you was New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because your sensibility, and you'll hear it this morning, if you stay with us throughout the morning, the sensibility for what you do is so well-rounded and so deep. How did that come about? You started with classical music.
Yeah,
right?
I started with classical music. I started playing, Suzuki piano, the Suzuki piano books, classical books, when I was about 4 years old. And I started playing piano at around one or two, but lessons when I was about 4 years old.
And then your father's jazz collection, your mother's taste in gospel music.
Exactly, exactly. My father had a lot of jazz records. He would play a lot of Grover Washington. He would play a lot of Miles. He would play a lot of Duke Ellington and Monk. You know, I have the Monk shirt on this morning, so, you know, I'm all ready. But he would play a lot of that, and my mother would play a lot of gospel music, a lot of Shirley Caesar, a lot of Blind Boys Alabama. And occasionally she'll play some country western, maybe some Charlie Pride or so, you know. And a lot of classical music. She loved Mozart. You know, I think I was born in that time where a lot of mothers were playing Mozart for their kids. You know, that was like a thing. So I was one of those kids that had all the Mozart in the house.
Yeah, indeed you did. But, you know, those kind of influences coming to you from all different kinds of directions, that's also indicative of the types of audiences that jazz music attracts today, right?
Definitely, definitely. You know, jazz is it's such a conglomerate of different styles and different sounds, you know, and always has been, you know. But today, you know, the world is so big, you know, yet so small because we're all connected. That's the way the music sounds today. So we're all pulling from different places.
And it's that type of music which hopefully is the connection that brings those peoples together.
Because
we're so disenfranchised and yet so in our, there's so many different little worlds, for no other reason than the technology.
Exactly, especially, you know, I always talk to my brother. He's 5 years younger, but I talk to him and his friends and kids younger than that, you know, because their faces are glued to their phones. I mean, even people, you know, that are 28, 29 or older than that, it's a new thing, you know. And I think once you just take the phone away or take the screen away, you can finally live. You know, and music helps you do that.
It does indeed. And the glue for you, all those different musical influences that you just mentioned, and also the inspiration that would bring all of this together for all the peoples to enjoy this music. A piece off your new recording, which is entitled Reach. What are we going to listen for here in Song of the Rainbow People?
Well, Song of the Rainbow People actually wrote that for the people of the world. You know, Rainbow meaning all people, all different colors, all different backgrounds, you know, because a rainbow has all these different pigments in it to make it, you know. And so the earth has the same thing, has all these different people, all these different animals, all these different, you know, beings. And we need to remember to keep the quote unquote, keep the rainbow going, you know, or the earth going, humanity going. We need to be together. We need to love one another, especially now, you know, especially with all the stuff that's been going on, you know, in our world, not even just in America, but also London and Paris and, you know, Syria. I mean, there's so many things happening. And so that song is really an anthem, so to speak, you know, for us to remember that we are all a part of something.
And you'll hear a little bit of Dad's record collection. You'll hear a little bit of Mom's gospel influence in this piece as well. Christian Sands from the new recording, Reach, and Song of the Rainbow People. Now, that's a live version of that tune. It's also on the new recording that has just come out from Mack Avenue. And Christian Sands is with us this morning. Jerome Jennings, you just heard, on the drums. And Yasushi Nakamura on the bass. And on the record, some different folk, but some folk that you have been close to for some time as well, including your good friend Christian McBride.
Yes, indeed. He is on the He's actually the producer of the record. And, you know, I wanted to get him because who else knows my playing better than somebody I've played with for years and years and years every day?
Tell me how that came about. It was kind of by accident that you and Christian first hooked up.
Yeah, actually. What happened was the original story. There's all these new stories. But the original story is that I met him. I was in college, my first year in college. This was 2007. And my freshman year, I first moved to New York and bright-eyed. And, you know, New York is great and it's beautiful. Later I found out it's not that great. No, it's awesome. It's amazing, you know. And so I went to New York and a friend of mine was telling me, he's like, hey, you know, Christian McBride is doing this clinic down the street, you know, in Harlem. And he's doing like a listening session, so we should totally go, you know. So we had finished class early, and so we went, I think it was about 7 o'clock, and we took the one train, the red line, up to, I think maybe 165th or something. I can't really remember where it was, but I remember it was dark. It was my first time being in Harlem, like deep in Harlem at night with this guy. And, you know, we didn't really know each other that well, but, you know, we were musicians and we were in the same class. We're like, hey, let's go hang out. And we went and we heard McBride playing all these different types of music, from James Brown to, John Coltrane to,
Rainbow.
You know, I mean, all this type of music.
Rainbow,
and it wasn't exactly just jazz. Yeah, exactly. Rainbow. Exactly. You know, and after that, you know, everybody was kind of coming up to meet him and all that. And so we waited patiently. You know, we're these young kids, so we're waiting patiently and we finally get an opportunity to meet him. And so we're like, okay, we're going to meet Christian McBride. Yes. And there was an old piano in the corner. Like, I remember I told him, like, yeah, I'm a pianist. And he was like, oh, man, cool. Well, there's a piano in the corner. Why don't you play something for me? And so it was dusty and, like, just cobwebs all over it. But I was like, cool, I'm going to give it a shot.
Do you remember what you played?
Ah, man, I don't. Because I was so... It was such a bad experience. Because, like, when I sat down, there was half of the keys were there. And the pedals weren't working. Like, it was just a piece of, you know what. It was horrible, you know. And I tried my best to play. I can't remember what it was. It might have been maybe even Have You Met Miss Jones or something like that. It was something, you know, because I remember it was an F because that was, like, the only keys that were left. You know, so it might have been that. And I remember him looking at me. He's like, yeah, all right. You know, not really, you know, trying to be supportive, but, you know, it was not a good first impression. And then a couple years later, it was my late junior year going to my senior year. I had met with some friends who went to Juilliard, and they were going to be a part of the Jazz Aspen program that he was running. You know, and they asked me, I guess their pianists from Juilliard couldn't make it. So they asked me, you know, do you want to come and play on the, you know, the audition tape and then maybe go to the, you know, program? And I said, sure. And I ended up playing, and they flew us out to Aspen, and then we were there for a week. And this clinic was amazing. It was Christian McBride was the artistic director, and Terrence Blanchard was a guest, and Diane Reeves, and you name it. It was Fred Wesley, Maceo Parker. You know, it was really happening. It was really cool. Nicholas Payton came through, so it was awesome, you know. And we ended up playing some trio stuff with Ulysses Owens. That's actually where I met Ulysses, was there. And we ended up playing some, you know, little trio jam sessions or so. And then it went from that. And then a couple months after that, he asked me, I got a call from his manager asking if I was available in November to play at the Jazz Standard with him and his band Inside Straight. And that was with Warren Wolf and Steve Wilson and Carl Allen. And so totally, yes, it was a big yes. And I was right in the middle of, I think I was writing a big band chart or something for Jim McNeely at Manhattan School of Music.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do that and then also learn all this new music from his record, Kinda Brown. And I remember being in the practice room, and I was there, and talking to different musicians. And I'm sure you know Jake Goldbass was he would pop in and out of the practice room. Hey, what are you working on? You know, and I'm working on this tune for McBride. You know, and so it was a lot of fun. And I did the first date in November, and scared out of my mind because there was no sound check, and there was no rehearsal.
It was just hit.
You know, well, I first got there early, and I ran into Warren Wolf, who was practicing. And if I never met him, and if you know Warren, he's this big, muscular guy. He looks like, you know, he has bench pressed me a few times. You know, a sweetheart, but totally, you know, he looks very menacing. He looks like, you know, Mike Tyson on the vibes. So if you can imagine Mike Tyson practicing vibraphone
and having that kind of musicality,
right? And then you hear the stories about him breaking vibes, and so you're like, oh geez. And so we're going through the tune, so I kind of rehearsed with him, but he counted the tunes off really fast, so you know, kind of like a hazing kind of thing. So he ended up playing all these tunes really fast, and we ended up going on, I ended up finally seeing Christian McBride about maybe 5 minutes before we went on stage, because he finally got there, you know. And, you know, hey, what's up? You know, are you ready to play? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. You know, and I had to be maybe 20, 19, 20, something like that, you know. And then we did the whole week. Then after that, the rest is history there.
Baptism.
That's it.
And you return tonight. To the scene of the crime.
The scene of the crime.
Jazz Standard with your own trio.
Yeah.
With
Jerome Jennings. And actually on bass, we're going to have Eric Wheeler playing bass with us. Yeah.
We're talking with Christian Sands at WBGO. He and his trio open tonight for 4 evenings at Jazz Standard in New York City. If you're out on the road, next Friday night, August the 4th, he will be featured with his trio at Newport Jazz Festival up there in Fort Adams State Park. And he's with us here this morning, and we're talking about this new recording, Reach. Last hour, we talked about your good friend who's on this record, in fact, co-produced this record with the guy who hired me at WBGO 35 years ago, Al Pryor.
That's it, Sir Al.
Well, we're talking about Christian McBride. Now, Marcus Baylor's on the record here with you. Yasushi is as well. And some guests, man, like Marcus Strickland, who plays tenor and bass clarinet on this record. And then Gilad Heckelsman on guitar for a couple of tracks.
Yeah.
And it covers a whole lot of ground. Influences, but the recording says it all, the name of recording. Why Reach?
Well, Reach, because that kind of summed up everything I was trying to do with this record. You know, I wanted to, you know, when I was first approached to do a record for Mac Avenue, I really didn't know what to do because I'm writing every day. I can write music every day, and it's all different types of music, and it's all throughout my life. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, because to me, I was like, well, I have 5 records already made, but which one is first, you know? So that was the dilemma I had. And then I just really thought about it. I was sitting down, actually talking to my younger brother, Ryan, who's a fantastic drummer, amazing drummer, who's on a couple of my older CDs. And Ryan was just saying, well, why don't you just play what you know? Simple as that. Ryan's a man of few words, but he's very simple like that. He's like, just play what you know. And I thought about, you know, what I knew. And what I know is me. You know, and so that's what I want to do, is reach back into my life and kind of recap on where I've come from being 28 years old. You know, so from my last record to 28, what have I done? You know, I've joined Christian McBride. I've played in the trio. I've played in his big band. I've played in his, his quintet. I've also played with different groups like Etienne Charles. I played with a lot with Ben Williams, the bassist Ben Williams. I played a lot with Derek Hodge, another bassist. You know, like, I played a lot of different things. I've also met a lot of different people and been in touch and you know, different relationships, friends and also girlfriends and all that. So I want to really capture what that was and also where I'm trying to go after 28. You know, where do I want to be? You know, who do I want to be? You know, I am, you know, me, but what am I going to be like next year or
and
tomorrow?
And that will define, in part, how you will treat this music.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And also for the listener, I want to to make a record for people. You know, I want to make a record for people that might not even listen to jazz. You know, something that they can understand or hear something about their life in the music as well.
Your brother says, hey, man, play what you know.
Right.
Your mom says, well, what about that? What about that tune from that mouse movie you used to watch when you were a little kid?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, you know, and that's something
American
that
Tale.
Everyone knows. Exactly. Exactly. And I had I did an interview the other day with somebody, and they asked me, they said, well, why do you play tunes that people know? I was like, well, people know them. Straight up like that. You know, because you have to make music that people will recognize. You know, you have to connect with people, you know. Whether it's something they've heard before or not. Again, you know, we're talking about Dr. Billy Taylor earlier, somebody who really broke down music and to say, well, it will have a swing section here and it'll have a Latin section on the bridge. And then the Steve Johns will play this or Chip Jackson will play this here.
And if you're going to leave town,
right,
wait a
minute, but bring them, tell them where you're going, you know? And so I want to do that with the music, with the entire album, you know, because a lot of the greats have done that. You know, when you talk about Christian McBride, you know, playing Car Wash, the fact that we recorded Car Wash at the Village Vanguard is very, to me, it's hilarious.
And it swings,
you know, and it's reaching people. So people that don't even listen to jazz necessarily will know Rolls Royce. You know, they know that tune.
And people that do know this music will know the feel.
Exactly.
Of someone like Chick Corea.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who was an influence on you, but not the only influence. You wrote a piece that you're going to perform here live in just a second called Armando's Song. And many people know, some don't, that Chick Corea's name is Armando.
Exactly.
And he wrote a piece, I think it was My Spanish Heart, Armando's Rumba, which was very popular, but kind of had a rhythmic thing that attracted people, not necessarily because they were hearing it for the very first time, but it was part of their own sense memories.
Exactly.
You know, if you were growing up on a hot summer night way up in the Bronx, well, that kind of rhythm emanated from damn near every window on every block.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I wanted to capture with this song in particular, but also just the entire record. Of just things that people will kind of resonate with.
Jerome Jennings on drums, Yasushi Nakamura on the bass, Christian Sands on piano. Let's reach for Armando's Song. Thank you. Now, that's a way to get out of bed. That's a way to enjoy a commute. That's the way to enjoy your support of WBGO. I'm Gary Walker, and our guest all morning long at the piano with his trio. What a wonderful time we're having with Christian Sands. So the music we're featuring this morning on WBGO is a lot of it, not all of it, some of it, is on this new recording called Reach. We're chatting with Christian Sands about his new recording. But the coolest thing about anything that has to do with jazz music is the live experience. It takes place not only here this morning with Jerome Jennings on the drums and Yasushi Nakamura on bass, but also tonight through Sunday at Jazz Standard in New York City, and then next Friday on stage at the Newport Jazz Festival. Christian Sands with us this morning at WBGO. Thank you, sir, for being in. Last month, you were part of an all-star salute that we had for our major donors at the Yamaha Studios in New York City for a pianist that brought legions of new fans to this music, Errol Garner.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's amazing to see the reimagining, I guess you can call it. You can totally call it a reimagining of Errol Garner. You know, the fact that he's coming back is so amazing, because I feel like a lot of people or a lot of the jazz musicians kind of skip over him. And he's such a dynamic and entertaining artist, you know, and one of the most important musicians we've ever had. You know, because you talk about, like, we talk about reaching people. Errol Garner was the master of doing that.
Why do you think that was?
Because he played what people knew, you know. And also, he delivered it in an entertaining way. It wasn't really dry. It was always exciting and always new. Even for the band members, they never knew what was going to happen. You know, there's all these videos I've watched or I've talked to people that have seen him perform. I spoke to my grandmother who saw him perform it might have been at Columbia University. It might have been there. She said it was in New York, so it probably was that. And she would just watch how he would just play these intros, and you would never know what it was going to be. And then he would start out with, you know, some grandiose piano intro, then go into You Can't Take That Away From Me or something like that, you know. And you would never expect it, but the way he would play it would just be incredible.
Joy. I never saw him in person, but I used to see him on the Ed Sullivan Show and some other places. And he always looked like he was having the time of his life.
Totally. You know, and that was just the amazing thing about seeing him and hearing him. And so the fact that the Errol Garner Project is happening, and it's, I have the T-shirt at home. I'm going to wear it, like, tomorrow. But I have this Errol Garner T-shirt, and I'm so glad. I'm waiting for my Errol Garner jacket, because it's such a great thing to have Errol kind of back, you know. And I've done these projects with Jerry Allen, this project we're doing. Jerry Allen and Jason Moran and myself, Victor Lewis, Russell Malone. I mean, it's a really fun project that we've done. And there's many more shows of that happening in the future. So we're really looking forward to it.
We're chatting this morning with Christian Sands. The new record is called Reach. And by the way, if you'd like to see Christian's participation in the Errol Garner tribute that we had last month at the Yamaha Studios in New York City, you can simply go to our website, wbgo.org, and find him in both a solo setting and also in a trio setting from the Yamaha Studios. I'm Gary Walker in the trio setting this morning with another standard kind of guy that brought legions of fans to this music, and many times they didn't know it because he was singing as well, Nat Cole.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
L-O-V-E. Yeah, Bert Kempfert. And Billy Crystal's uncle wrote the words to that song.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Bill Gabler. Gabler, yeah. And we're chatting with Christian Sands this morning. The standard is many times overlooked by people, disdained by many people even, because it's like a museum. I got to tell you, man, your version of that tune just now was anything but a museum piece.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, you mentioned right before that we heard the tune, you mentioned somebody like Jason Moran. And that Vijay Iyer, Jason Moran, those kind of people provide a particular balance, but not the antithesis to something that you might also learn from Billy Taylor.
Exactly.
Or Errol Garner.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because I was studying with Jason Moran at the same time I was with Dr. Billy Taylor. So you talk about the entire history of the piano, you know, from its earliest form, you know, into today, you know, and just having lessons or being around the two of them, you know, or being at Dr. Taylor's home and then driving from the Bronx to, you know, Manhattan School of Music and studying with Jason Moran.
Is there something that you could show us at the piano that this is maybe something that Dr. Taylor would do?
Oh,
and,
yeah. Well,
and this is maybe a twist that Jason would say, well, look around this corner.
I hope Jason's not listening.
Look around this corner, man.
Well, this is, you know, funny enough, because Dr. Taylor was all about big sound and harmony, you know, so. Like, all of that just wide sound, you know. You know, that kind of sound. And then Jason, very similar, you know, because he also studied with the greats. He studied with Jackie Byard, you know. And you know, he had a sense of playing it in a more broken way, but it's still the same exact information.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a line, and a line is made up of all these small dots. So Jason was concentrating on the dots versus Dr. Taylor was coming from just lines.
And when you put them all together, it still speaks.
Exactly.
L-O-V-E. You know, I got to be honest. And I hope the management is listening here, but, you know, some mornings are just more fun than others. Not every day is a thrill to be here. I got news for you. It's no different than anybody's gig, right? But this is not one of those mornings. This is a special morning for me, and hopefully for many of you listening right now, too. I'm Gary Walker, and with me this morning, pianist Christian Sands, and he's come by with two of his good friends, the Beast, Jerome Jennings, and also Yasushi Nakamura on the bass. And they've been making some great music, and we've been having some wonderful conversation, too, about Christian's early background, some of his influences, some of the many things that make up a jazz roux, if you will, all those little ingredients, and you stir them and stir them and stir them and stir them, and it all comes together. Not homogeneous necessarily, but all the different influences from everywhere around the world or even around the corner. We talk about the jazz standard and how people should not shy away from it, because if you reach for it in the proper perspective, it'll always sound fresh, won't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you'll hear some of that kind of thing tonight through Sunday on stage at Jazz Standard in New York City as he returns to the scene of the crime where he first started doing professional gigs as part of Christian McBride's Inside Straight Quintet. But also earlier appearances with the electric Bobby Sanabria and some of the things that used to go on at the Manhattan School of Music, man.
There's a lot of stuff happening there. Manhattan School of Maniacs, as we call it.
Is that right?
That's what we call it.
Don't ever let go of that.
Exactly.
Don't ever let go of that. You know, and I'm thinking of one recording that featured Candido, also featured yourself, Kenya, where you're featured on a couple of tracks. And, boy, you know how Bobby got students like that,
man,
to just explode.
It was really a special, special band because even, you know, talking with Bobby, you know, even he says himself, you know, that was something that really doesn't come around a lot, you know, where everyone is so focused and everyone loves the music. And of course, you know, when you're around Mr. Sanabria, you just have to be so enthusiastic with the music because he's a very enthusiastic person.
Well, you know, I'm looking at your jacket right now and it says Monk.
Right.
But with your jacket closed, it just says O-N.
Yes, sir.
And that would describe Bobby Sanabria.
That on.
O-N.
On all the time. You know, but that was it. You know, when we would do rehearsals, we would rehearse like we were performing live. You know, so there was no separation, you know, and every rehearsal was just different. We would, you know, we would go over the tunes and go over the charts, but we would also be on our toes because he would point at you and expect you to do something. He didn't really tell you what to do. He would point at you and like scream at you at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you just have to just react.
Respond in the moment.
And respond in the moment, exactly. Yeah. Whether it was on stage or in the rehearsal studio, it was just exactly the same.
See, and this is what you've always wanted your whole life, because when you started with classical music, you got in trouble.
Right.
You got
right.
in trouble for, you know, all of a sudden making a left there at the corner of Chopin.
Right. Right? Exactly. Exactly.
And Mozart. And it's like, where are you going? Get it back here.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know, and so to be a part of something that was so spontaneous, you know, was very, especially a big band like that, you know. Yeah. And, you know, the rest of the guys were just absolutely amazing. And you hear it on the Kenya record. I mean, you hear all of us, you know, from undergrad, there was a few of us were the only freshmen. I think it was myself. I think J.J. Kirkpatrick on trumpet. I think I'm trying to think who else was on. Jake Goldbass, I believe, was on there on percussion. It was an incredible band, you know, from us being the young up and comers, you know, in freshman year to the master's students that were in there. You
sure.
know, it was absolutely incredible.
Well, and that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit, when you're exposed to it, hell, when you're part of it, you know, then anything that you reach for is going to give you the freedom to explore,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And that's exactly what this new recording is about, reach. And we're going to close out here this morning with a piece that's not it's not even on this record, but it speaks volumes to what players today say when they look over their shoulder, it's okay. But you look ahead to find what you need to say. And looking over your shoulder, but not that far back, is one gentleman who spent a lot of his life in Minneapolis by the name of Prince. Right?
Yeah, that's it. His purpleness, as we call him.
His purpleness.
Yes.
And we're going to go out this morning with Let's Go Crazy. Maybe we'll dedicate this to Bobby Sanabria.
There you go.
Tonight through Sunday on stage at Jazz Standard in New York City. Next Friday, August the 4th, part of this year's Newport Jazz Festival. Christian Sands, man, thank you so much for coming by
thank
and sharing
you
your
me.
Good vibes and exceptional piano work.
Thank you.
and that, my friends, is how they go crazy. Tonight through Sunday at Jazz Standard in New York City, and a week from Friday on stage at this year's Newport Jazz Festival. Our thanks once again this morning to the Beast, drummer Jerome Jennings, to family member Yasushi Nakamura, who's been here before, was through, you may remember, a month two back with the Whitfield family, and on the piano this morning. Continued success as he reaches for the obvious, for the unknown. Always exciting. Christian Sands, thank you very much for being with us this morning at WBGO Newark.